faithful Father, I pray that your blessing, your Spirit would be with us. Father, today, you'd bless us with your presence, your very presence, Lord, in your worship. Thank you for ministering to my heart. I hope you receive some love from me. But Lord, I pray that you'd just settle us in and you'd cause your word to soak into our very bones, and we would get exactly what we need from for you, because you know what we need. Each and every one, we know where we need to be billowed. So billow us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So far, on a super quick headline or recap, we've been doing our series 3 in 1. Knowing God, knowing the God of the gift is the most important thing. Not seeking after a gift, seeking after the God of the gifts. And so long that's been out of order at certain times in church history and life. We really just want this gift. We're going to this revival meeting. Why? I hope I get a gift. I hope you know God. That's the purpose of the revival, is to know God and change your life. Not to go, wow, I felt this great feeling and the room shook. Awesome. But if you go away from not knowing God, it wasn't really God. It's just a tremor, you know? So knowing God is the most important thing, because we need to be productive. We need to have productive fruit. So maybe I'll talk about that next week, fruit. The gift actually is the Holy Spirit. It's not a gift of this or a gift of that. The gift is the Holy Spirit, right? So we've been talking about that. And the Holy Spirit's helped us do lots of things, right? Various things that we should all read about in the Word that I didn't cover maybe. Right? I want to give a few examples of the things that we learn the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He's helpful in recognizing truth. How's that? Like, not the greatest gift you should seek for, right? Recognizing truth. Lord, help me recognize when I'm being bamboozled. Help me recognize when the preacher's not preaching what the word really says. Help me recognize. So help me recognize you, even when I don't feel like doing. Give that what? The person on the street, how much money? I was giving $5. You said what? What? That can't be you. $100? What are they going to do with $100? Doesn't matter what they do with $100. Recognize truth when I'm speaking to you. Go give it. Discerning of spirit, right? Recognize. Helps the Holy Spirit helps us exalt Jesus. Right? I wasn't doing a great job of exalting Jesus before I found the Holy Spirit, for sure. Helps us to be more courageous, to do a hard thing. And he was talking to the apostles, right, about going and doing a hard thing soon. So he's telling them, the Holy Spirit's going to come to help you do some hard things, right? Helps us to be more like Jesus, right? Chiseling off the things that don't look like Jesus. Honestly, the Holy Spirit's the main force in pruning you, bro. Holy Spirit's the main force in pruning your life. Like, I want the gift of prophecy. You know what, though? Ask him for help with your addiction. I want the gift of tongues. Ask him for the help of your laziness. I don't know what's your thing, you know? The Holy Spirit is the only one who can help do that, chiseling off the parts. But that's one of the things he does, right? You don't need a sermon. If you have the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you stuff. He'll say your name twice, Dr. Heidi. Hey, hey. He'll say your name twice. You know, he will. We also read about order and being careful not to blaspheme, right? Heard why Pastor Sean runs service a certain way. Today, we're going to wade into various expressions of the Holy Spirit. In episode 4 of 3 in 1, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3. And I think I'm staying completely in the Amplified, didn't I? Except for one, okay. Now, about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments given by the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters. Say, aha. Brothers and sisters, right? So long, the church for a long time got this wrong. For a long time, right? Yeah, serving God's not a man's job. It's a human's job. Brothers and sisters, right? Brothers and sisters. I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, leave your past behind you, right? Actually got to bury sometimes that past. Remember when you were pagans? It's easy. I have a terrible memory for so many things. But remember when I was a pagan isn't one of them. Well, what's a pagan? Someone who's not serving God and serving themselves. Your idol worship is maybe you or something else, right? It says, remember when you were pagans? You know that when you were pagans, you were let off, right? Before Jesus, how many times were let off in your paganry? I was let off, right? Let off by after speechless idols. Say, I'm gotta keep my pagan in the past. Say, yeah, idols. Say this, I won't let things be a priority. So what are things, right? Like idols. So what, of course we don't bow down to these man-made calves. We don't do that, Pastor. What about stuff? What about wealth? Is that the most important thing? What about your home? What about your car? What about your carrot collection? I don't know. How about this? How about even your own pursuit of happiness? It shall not take priority over him because we come dead men. Which everything changes, right? So lots of times I have to weekly find idols out of my life. Things that Sean wants to do that aren't necessarily bad things, but God said, that's not the priority now, man. That is not the priority. Sam, no longer a pagan. And who would have thought that? If I got that on tape and played that to some people that you know, when you, they're like, no, really? I thought they were pagan for life. And then Jesus came in. Anybody? Jesus came in and people would have thought, that's crazy. Jesus is never coming to that guy. No way, right? He says, however, when you were, say were. When you were let off, whether by impulse or habit. Now today, if you're stumbling with impulse sins or habit sins. The impulse sins are things in the moment that maybe I shouldn't have been there. You know, if you're sober and you're trying to be sober and you have an alcohol addiction, I don't recommend you get a job in a bar. I just don't recommend that, right? Because at one moment, you're going to have a bad day and you might have an impulse decision. I'm so mad at Kaylee. Ah! Boom. How many make impulse decisions all the time? Bad. One of these categories you're going to fall into because we all sin. So if you don't raise your hand here, you're going to get on the next one. So I'm saying, you have impulse sins? Yeah, sometimes impulse. You know, I didn't need to buy that thing, but Amazon said, what? 2-for-1 thingamajigs? Oh, yeah. There's only $14 in the account. That's okay. I get paid in a month. Right? Or how many have sins that are habits? Like, yeah, I am. Been trying to kick that my whole life, and I do good for a month, and then not. And it's just like this habit. I've been delivered from habits, and I had some bad habits that Jesus had to get a hold of, right? Right? I pray, you know, if today, if you're stumbling with impulse sins or habit sins, get a prayer partner. Become accountable to somebody that's further ahead in your impulse or further ahead in your habit than you are. Where they've walked through it, it's not like, man, me and my boy Stinky, we just got saved and we have a hard time with cocaine, but we're going to hang out together and help each other. Find someone who's been there, done that with Jesus so they can help you. Be accountable if you really want out of it. If you don't, you just stay there. It's going to get worse. Until you get uncomfortable, you got to need the Holy Spirit to break that stuff. Like, you can't willpower those things, right? Maybe, besides a strong Christian accountability partner, maybe you need a good therapist. I don't know. But it's time to overcome. I do know that it's time, right? It says, therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the power and the influence of the Spirit of God can say, Jesus be cursed. That makes sense, right, Jody? That makes a lot of sense to me. Okay. This next one's where it gets you. And no one can say, Jesus is my Lord except by the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit. So the moment, that one moment in your life when you really recognize that Jesus was who he said he was and he came to do exactly what he came to do and I needed that more than anything else, that moment you had in your life, you know what revealed that to you? His Spirit. He said, no one can call Jesus Lord except by that moment. So you had a Spirit encounter already if you got saved. I'm not saying you're baptized and filled with the Spirit and you have all these gifts, but I'm saying you had a Spirit-filled encounter or you don't know Jesus. That's his word. It's an important thing, right? And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's the most important thing, that Jesus be revealed to you. Like, and if he hasn't, if you're here and he's never been revealed to you, I pray that he would reveal himself to you today. And you get to see Jesus, not Pastor Sean, not New Season, not anything. You would find, Jesus would find you today and reveal himself to you. That's what I pray, right? I went from skeptic to sold out believer. Only Jesus can do that, right? Thank the Holy Spirit for that. Back to Scripture, 3:1. 1 Corinthians 12:4 in the Amplified. Now, there are varieties of, say varieties. varieties of, lots of different kinds. When you have a variety, what's it mean? Lots of different kinds. A plethora, a cornucopia, right? You could use any words. Moss, you know, varieties of things. And we talked last week about a couple of the gifts, you know, my two elephants, but there's moss more, a variety of more, right? Varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace. See, that's we like that sometimes when it's just, you know, grace, he forgave me. And he, again, he had grace. And I love that. But grace also means stuff is up to him. It's his prerogative to do what he wants when he wants to do it. So we fight with God. It's a losing battle. If you got dealt a raw hand, two things happen. You made some really bad impulse habit decisions. Or God's got you running through some stuff till you run into him. Grace, he chooses what he wants to give us and to do in our lives. Doing what he chooses, it's his prerogative, right? It's God's prerogative. Varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace and the extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers. God wants to do something, I believe, Charity, in and through us again in ways that we can't imagine this next season. And I've been in seasons where I've seen, I felt God moving in me. I've seen him do crazy things. I felt him moving through me. And I just feel like it's that season again for the church in general, not just here. Every Saturday, I hope you're praying for more than just here. I put on Facebook, pray for the churches all around, that God's Spirit begin to move. However that looks there. You know, maybe at St. George's, God's Spirit might be, man, during right in the middle of the first Missalette song. Someone goes, man, I feel God. Boom, that's awesome. We should be praying for his Spirit to break out everywhere, not just here, right? The Spirit. Say, I'm his church, right? Operating in believers. But it is the same Spirit. Say, same Spirit. When God does anything amazing in you or through you, we need to realize it's God doing it. It's God doing it. It's not your gift, not your wisdom, it's not your insight, it's not your coolness. It is God, right? It was definitely not in you just because you had some great organic breakfast cereal. You know, wow. Just, you know why the miracle happened? Well, I'm eating right. Exercise it. Read my Bible. Pray every day. No, that's not the reason. By God's grace, this the Spirit in you, right? Right. God's doing it. 1 Corinthians 12:5. And there are varieties of ministries. God can do lots of types of stuff. And there are varieties of ministries and service. The Holy Spirit actually gives us gifts to minister to him and to serve other people. That's the purpose. It's to serve other people. Charity shared a prophetic gift today. It was to honor God, to be obedient, but to serve us, go, hey, this is the season he wants to do something. The thing that you've been trying forever, you've been asking him to show you, he's on that now. This is the season he's on it. You've been waiting? Yeah, he's on it. There's something you're expecting him to do, yeah, then he's getting on something in you about it. Why? Because he's on the move, you know? Aslan's on the move. You know? There are varieties of ministries, and there are varieties of ministries and service, but it's the same God. Say, same God. You're going to see a pattern forming here. And I think he does it for a reason. Because when God does miraculous things, the church embraces it right away, splits over it right away, something crazy happens right away, but the problem is it becomes all about what happened, not about God. We had 48 services in a row. I hope he was at all of them. Not saying he wasn't. But we had to celebrate this moment. God did something on a Sunday, so we're going to come on, let God. God sets the precedent, you know. It's the same God who does the same things. The Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they're the same. Jesus said, it's the same. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:6. And there are distinctive ways of working to accomplish things. We know there are many ways to accomplish things, right? Sometimes when Dr. Heidi and I work on a project, it takes us a little bit in the beginning because we work on it from different angles, right? She steps next to Pastor Jody. They're saying, going in together, boom, they're getting the project done. We clash at the beginning. Why? Because we see things differently. We have a variety of perspective on that thing and how to get something accomplished. And guess what? Neither one of us is wrong. We're both right in seeing how it gets done. It's just done differently. And that's okay. So there's a variety. Jesus did it that way. It's okay. But it's the same Lord. The same God who produces all things in all believers. The same God who produces all things in all believers. We know and we read that stuff's possible with God to do a variety of things in various ways. And then we put him in a cage. You know, we put him in a cage. There's only one way to him. He said that. There's only one way to God. That's what he said. Only one way. Very narrow-minded in that aspect. That's it. God's prerogative. He could have made other ways. He could have said, you know, I'm going to do other things. He said, no, I'm going to make one way. This is what I'm going to do, my son. It's going to be the way. Then after that, he said, there's going to be lots of ways to express myself through you. You know, various ways. I often perceive sometimes when people hear that in theological circles, when you say God's going to do things various ways you can't imagine or think about, and they get kind of bent out of shape because if you don't show me that in the Word, how can you pray for that? That's not in the Word. God didn't do that miracle. We're not talking about leprosy. We're talking about this. You know, is that blasphemous that you would pray for that miracle? Can I give you an example of something? Maybe we can chew on together. Here's my answer to that type of thinking sometimes. I want to examine this. So ask yourself this. Jeff, back there, say Jeff goes out to get in his car right after service. And he gets his keys out, and there's like a brand new key on there. He doesn't, what's this for? And he walks outside, and where he had parked his car, there's a 2025 V12 Camaro in that spot. What if he walked up and said, what if he did that? What if that really happened? Things like that happen. I got blessed with $200 out of the blue yesterday for no reason at all. A mitzvah. Boom, just out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it, didn't know. So, well, God didn't say you can't pray for $200. I didn't pray for $200. He just gave it to me. But here's the deal. Jeff, if that Charger was parked up, that Camaro was parked out there right now, who would get the glory for that? God. Yeah, I know Jeff. He's going to shout, God give me that. Well, if he doesn't do that, if some unexplained miracle that's good in your life happens and you don't give God the credit for it, isn't that kind of blasphemous because someone else is getting the credit when he deserves it? That car wasn't in the Bible. I don't know. God gave it to me. I was blind. Now I see. I don't know. That wasn't in there earlier either till Jesus did it. I'm saying various. He does various things. Ever lose something? And Lord, help me find that. It's like half my prayer life. I lost this thing. And then God does it. Where do I find that? I don't know. I just ask the Holy Spirit to help me because he's my helper, my advocate, my ever-present help in time of need. And currently, I need to find my keys. And when I find them, I go, thank you, Jesus. Right? So who gets the glory in that? So God can do various things in our lives, right? He can take us beyond what we know. I got a picture of that car, Jeff. I just want you to see it. Do I have a picture? Yeah. Well, if that was about there, dude, he's going to go check. He's like, Pastor, you messing with me? I'm just going to check because I know if you got some cash, you do something great. I would do something like that. I can't wait to buy people cars. I love that kind of stuff. I love it. I do. But anything that you can't explain and is good, God should get the credit for it. Any blessing, any answered prayer, he alone should get the praise. And if something else getting the credit, then that's blasphemous. Just my thought on the subject. Gifts, expressions of wonder are great, but it is the Spirit of God himself that's the gift, right? So the fact God expresses himself in and through us in various, he said, ways. Say ways. Various ways, right? 1 Corinthians 12:7. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit. For gifts are given for the common good. Why is a gift given? For the common good. I will step on toes, possibly, here. I hope no one's really listening to any of these online that I love. But I've seen in the past where it's got a gift. I'm not saying there's a prophetic gift, a great teacher, a great pastor. And I try to honor when they come in. I hope they lack for nothing. I put Pastor Sharon, I give her a budget, go throw a crazy cool basket together. Let's put their rooms up. I want them to be blessed, right? That's I'm not saying that, but I often feel sometimes the body of Christ, the gift is here. Wait, the pastor's here. He's got something to say. Well, that gift you have, big shot, is for the common good. It's not for your pocketbook. It's not for your notoriety. It's not for your book sales. Some of that stuff is great. Buy Pastor Heidi's book. She's amazing. But it's got to be for the common good. It can't be about for our good only, right? If you got a gift from God, it's got to help other people, not just ourselves. Just saying. I think I got a slide. Yes. Gifts of any kind should bless and or enhance the lives of others, especially the gifts of God. Now think about it. When you give someone a gift and they go, oh, thank you. Ever give one of those? You're like, man, I got you something. They go, yeah, that's great. I've always wanted a 15-pound paperweight shaped like Kawhi Leonard. I don't know. Thank you. I really appreciate it, you know. Oh, I gave you this gift. I got a new living room set, so I blessed you with my old one. Yeah, I can see the floor through that one seat. See, gifts and blessings should be what? Gifts and blessings that enhance someone's life. Shouldn't that be the same in the gifts of God? Shouldn't be hurting people with gifts. I should be helping people, enhancing people with gifts, right? 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. The one is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. I see this happen a lot in our counseling meetings. I thank God for this next two, actually, because sometimes we're like, this is a pretty tough situation. And we've been in, how have we been long doing marriage and family counseling? And all the way back. Well, for almost 30 years, really, but our practice has been on for a while, right? Decade of practice, you know. Inevitably run into stuff where we're like, I don't know what to do here. And the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom right in the middle of the meeting. So look at it. You need to do, this is what they need. And then you'll see them start bawling. You're like, oh God. Like, babe, that was really good. You said that in counseling. Like, man, that was the Holy Spirit. Happens all the time. Right? And to another, the word of knowledge and understanding, according to the same Spirit. Any of his gifts are not about you, it's about God. There's going to be a reminder through all this. He keeps saying over and over again. Why? Because people get led off by powerful gifts. They get led off by flashy things. They run off by cool expressions of God. They get led off. So he says, hey, remember when that cool stuff happens? I want it to happen in your life. I put it there. I sent him to be the helper. The reason I'm leaving is so I can send him to you so you can have help. But remember, it's all about him and it's not about you. Say, it's not about you. Yeah. To another, faith. Wonder-working faith shows up in lots of ways that are not exactly listed in the word. Right? Seeing God do crazy stuff. By the same Holy Spirit. And to another, the gifts of healings. Different, various kind of healings. And by one Spirit. You see that pattern forming here? God can do various things by his Spirit in you, but it's all the same God. Say, by one Spirit. By one Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles. Being the vessel to help, not spilling your special anointing oils online. I got a gift of healing. I just want to pray all these bottles of oil, send them out for 1995. I'm just trying to help us. That's prostituting a gift of God. And we shouldn't do that because it's not about us. To another, the working of miracles. And to another, prophecy, for telling the future. Most sermons, I believe, in America today should have a prophetic nature. What do I mean? I feel like that should be correctional or directional from the word of God for his people, because the shepherd leads the people where they should eat in the future. Not where, hey, we just ate there yesterday, right? I need to find out, or a shepherd needs to find out, where are we supposed to eat, God, in the future so they can be healthy sheep? What's supposed to be fed during the season they're in, right? So me, that's prophetic. I can flip open the Bible, honestly. I have a teaching gift. I can flip open the Bible. You can bring me any scripture you want right now. I can probably preach a message out of it. And it might be good because it's the word of God alone. But I would say it's prophetic direction. I pray, say, Lord, what season? I don't want to preach about the Holy Spirit this season. I want to talk about David and Absalom. I went up north for my study break, and Lord, give me all these great topics. Lord, this would be great. And he said, the Holy Spirit. I go, yeah, I'm putting that off a while, but that'll be good. It's a big topic. It causes problems. Usually, like, there's church issues and people get mad. And I know people right now, they're having that. Their churches are split and him just bringing up the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, that's a good topic. And I love it and I appreciate it. But I'm going to put it at the end of the year. No, I'm not. Sean, yes. It's the first thing you're doing in the new year. Oh, good. Thank you, Lord. Right. To another, a discernment of spirits. The ability to distinguish, I love this. The ability to distinguish sound doctrine, godly doctrine, from the deceptive doctrine of man-made religions and cults. Say, Lord, give your church this gift. Like, that's the one we need most. Right? If I'm up here preaching bunk, you should hear it and know it from the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you're... Now, if I'm saying something makes you uncomfortable, that's different. But don't you want discernment? If I'm not bringing the Word of God and the Spirit of God here, don't you want to know, like, I don't want to be any place that that's happening. I want that gift for the whole body of Christ, man. That would help so much. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues and interpretation of tongues, say all these things. The gifts, the achievements, the abilities, the empowering, all are brought about by one and the same Holy Spirit. He's hammering it home over and over again. Same God, three in one. Same God, three in one. This happens, it's God. That happens, it's God. When you can do this, it's God. And he can do all sorts of stuff. How does he use? He uses me. He uses you. Okay. Same Holy Spirit. Distributing to each one individually just as he chooses. Say, just as he chooses. Now, how many times you want to trade your gifts or some aspect of your life in for somebody else's? Come on. I want to be as handsome as Andrew. Where is he? You know, I just, man, sometimes, you know, I just want, it's a gift, you know. But, yeah. but you know, there's a temptation in the aspect of some of those things. We're asking God for those things. In the scripture, there's a time where someone approaches the Holy Spirit, a guy named Simon, and says, hey, that's a cool thing you just did right there. Give me that gift. I'll go help people. No, if you give me that, I'll go help people. I will. You won't give it to me? How about if I pay you for that? You could almost feel like a sword snake. A snake is among us, you know. Just as he chooses. Like, when you get, if you've ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today or another time, if God does something unexplainable, great, he does something explainable. But when his Spirit activates in our lives and he gives us something and talks about something, just as he chooses, that's what he wants us to have. You know, it'd be great if we all got every one of those gifts. But that's not how it always works. God gives various types of gifts and ministries and service. He gives to who and to what to do as he chooses. Say grace. Yeah, so you can't say, well, you don't have the Holy Spirit because you didn't do this. No, listen. My daughter-in-law got delivered of night terrors. That was the Holy Spirit. He's getting the credit for that. I bet she, because that's a pretty great gift. Right? Anything God gives us is great. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. For just as the body is one and yet has many parts, and all the parts, though many, form one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Spiritually transformed, united together. So that's a great thing. Holy Spirit fitting us together. Sometimes I'm a little rough. You have a hard time standing next to me? Yeah, Lord, stand in me. It's my fault for poking you. He's working on me. Spiritually transformed, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. Do you remember your slavery days? Come on, you remember when you didn't know Jesus, the slavery days of your own self, passions and troubles and issues? Remember those slavery times? And he's talking to a bunch of Jewish guys, community here, because they thought they were the only chosen people. That's what the word says. A chosen remnant, chosen. And Jesus said, I'm about to graft into the wild vine. Let me go back to the prophecy and tell you what I already told you. They're all coming in. So it doesn't matter if you're Hebrew. Jeff's no better than me in Jesus' eyes. Though he's, you know, more handsome and all that. But I'm saying, in Jesus' eyes, just because I wasn't Hebrew and got saved and he was, we're no different. We're all one body. We're all one, right? We're all one. Jews, Greeks, slaves, frees. And we're all made to drink of one Holy Spirit. Say the same. The same Holy Spirit fills each life. Is anybody not alive today? Okay, then this is what he's saying. Each life he desires to fill. Like, to give you something that he knows is going to bless you and other people in your life. He just wants to bring his Spirit in you to change the world in each life, right? If you think about that for a while, you know, Pastor Heidi likes this exercise in counseling because it makes people uncomfortable. I'm going to do it here for just a second. Close your eyes and be quiet. Now, I could do that all day. But I want you to take some time. I want you to take some time during that quiet moment and ask him, Holy Spirit, I want you fresh in me again. Do something great in and through me that you can receive glory and the world is changed. Because if we leave the church and we don't have any other passion than that, then I missed it. I just missed it, you know. His word gives the one body message over and over again for a little while, hitting it home. We're going to jump to verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12, 18, and that's my New Living Scripture. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. He has put each part just where he wants it. And if you're a guy like me that likes to have set my own order and stuff, sometimes that's tough for me. Everybody have a hard time? He put you somewhere where he wants you and you just didn't want to be? Man, every time I go to Walmart, every single time, right? Every time. You put you there. I know you did. So you better have a better attitude. I'm working on it, Holy Spirit. Chisel me, you know. He's always in charge. All the various parts make one unit, and he's in charge of that. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. We'll jump down there. Now, you collectively are Christ's body and individuals and members of it. Each has its own special purpose and function. So God has appointed and placed in the church his own use, right? First apostles. Now I want to stop there for a second. Don't sweat this and don't get haughty about this if this is a gift thing. We know God has order. That's all he's saying. There's order. Like Charity's like, Pastor, I feel like I got something from the Holy Spirit. And usually I'd say, well, tell me right here. And we're busy. You're heading out. And I said, type it to me. Text it to me. I'll go over it. We'll talk. Right? I was being apostolic in that moment. I was overseeing to make sure, oh, this is good, you know? She just said, I feel like the Lord wants us all to have smoothies after church and go to roller derby. I'm like, oh, hey, Charity, I'm not going to have you share that. I'm not feeling that right now. I don't feel that's the Holy Spirit, you know. I was just being apostolic there. That's my job. That's my job, right? First, apostles. Why? Someone has to be accountable. Someone has to be proven. You know how many people I've seen handing out cards that has a title on it? Hi, I'm Apostle so-and-so. Okay, well, who's your people? Who's your leader? Well, I just broke out on my own. I do my own thing. So, oh, I see that. You're a wolf then. Because a man is under authority, he's under authority. That doesn't make popular conversation when they hand me those cards, by the way. Just trying. Second, prophets. In my opinion, pastors and leaders should hear God for the future on a regular as best we can. Right. Third, teachers. God has order and instruction. And some leaders are great at that. I have some friends that are amazing teachers. Pastor Justin's a great teacher. He really is. And those who work miracles, and then those who have gifts of healing, and helpers, and administrators, speakers, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Say nope. Are all prophets? Nope. I think God's making a point here. Are all teachers? Mm-mm. Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Say, nope. Right? God's grace. He decides that. I have this. It's not back there, so don't stress out. Mr. Villalobos, don't stress on this one. It's a scripture, but I don't have it for you. And Ephesians, if you're a tapper, turner, or flipper, Ephesians 5:11 or 4:11 says this, and his gifts to the church were varied. And he himself appointed some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And he did this to fully equip to perfect the saints for works of service, to build up the church. So there is a gift of evangelism, right? Someone can come and draw a crowd and give Jesus. That's amazing. I don't have that gift. But he said at the beginning of all these gifts, he called us to do what? Be a witness. So I believe every single believer in Jesus Christ is called to be an evangelist. To go to somebody and bring Jesus to them. Authentic, real Jesus. That's our job. I feel like that's one of the things that we're essentially left behind to do, right? That's one of our jobs. The point is, we're many parts, right? All of us have many parts, and no one's called to do it all. That's what this scripture is saying. Or all this, or all that. No one's called to do it all. If you feel like it's all on your shoulders, you're missing it. We all have parts to play. And that's what's so tough. Like, my thumb has been giving me trouble lately. Like, every night, trouble. But I'm not cutting it off and throwing it away. I need it. I like to grab things. I like to give thumbs up. You know, there's things I like to do. He gave us various gifts. He told us to use them for others' good. And he gave us order. I want this side of the room to look at that right room and point at them. Say, you can't do it all. And you point over here and go, neither can you. Yeah. We're all one. We need each other. We all got to do this, right? You can't do it all. I can't do it all. We can't do it all. We need the whole body working together, right? Everybody doing their part. If everyone does their part, everything gets done, right? That's how it is. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Say, I'm the church. But earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts. Acquiring them, if it's your goal, anyways. And yet, say yet. Acquire, ask for the greater gifts, but yet, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Even greater than the gifts we just talked about? Yeah, there's something way more excellent there. There's something the power of the Holy Spirit will do that's even greater than that. Yet I'll show you a more excellent way, one of the choicest graces, the highest of them all. And then he says, unselfish love. Isn't that crazy? I know the Holy Spirit is alive in me because I love at times where the old me would have liked to throw a right hook. Unselfish love is not something that comes natural to us, but if you've loved anybody unconditionally ever in your life, that's the greatest thing you've ever done. That's the greatest gift. I see it around you. I know stories. I see unconditional love all the time. So I'm asking, if you're seeking God, are we seeking him for a deeper experience for your life and for other people? Are we asking him to manifest in our life? Put his spirit in us again, empower us again? I really feel like it's time. I feel like it's time like never before that it's time. And it's great that I'm not going to do the whole 1 Corinthians 13 next week. I'm going to bop around and we're going to talk about fruit of Holy Spirit. But he ends this conversation in his word. He talks about various gifts. You should this, and you should ask for them, and they're great, and they're going to serve the body. But all of that is pale, small, insignificant gift in comparison to unselfish love. And there's no way to do unselfish love without the Holy Spirit. Because God is love, and no one could have you act like God would act unless God's in you acted it out. And I feel like that's the greatest gift the church is supposed to be giving out this season. The greatest is love. But maybe you're not filled with it. Maybe you never accepted Jesus and you never got forgiven and you're not filled with love. If that's you this morning, I would love you to run up front and I'll squeeze you and we'll pray because God did it for me. He did it for him and he did it for him and he did it for her. And he'll do it for you. So if you need prayer for unselfish love to come into your life and you be forgiven and be filled with love, great. But maybe you're in the church at New Season today and you're like, I would like God to give me some special gift to help people. I'd like to lay hands and pray for you. Have the pastoral team do that. It's his grace. I don't know what you're going to get. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to say to you, but it says that I'm supposed to lay my hands on you and pray for you. That's my job, my part. God does his part. And I do know that besides those gifts, the greater gifts that change the world, what brought me to Jesus was unconditional love. And if you're all called to be evangelists, and he's put his spirit upon us, then we're supposed to go take this unconditional love to a bunch of people And he said, you're going to need courage because it's going to be hard. And some of you are going to be killed and cast out. Remember, that's how he started this whole, Jesus started the whole conversation with the Holy Spirit. You'll be killed and cast out. They're going to mock you sometimes. It's going to be pretty terrible. But I'm going to send you the comforter. I'm going to send you the power. I'm going to send you the advocate. I'm going to send you an ever-present help in time of any various need you may have. That's the Holy Spirit. It's not some funky woo. It is the same God that revealed Jesus to you. That same God wants to give you something, empower you to do something beyond you. And the world needs that, doesn't it? So if you'd like prayer, stand. If you'd like prayer to receive the Holy Spirit, come up front. If you'd like prayer for anything, look around and go, hey, I need prayer. I'm struggling with an impulse. I'm struggling with a habit. I'm struggling with whatever it is. This is a place, baby. This is the place. And whenever I feel bad about my situation, I feel like, Lord, you sent me a bad deal. Ever do that? Ever have a woe is me moment? Like when your pipes break and your grandkids are sick and... Ever have those moments you're like, Lord, why are you picking on me? Why are you letting the devil pick on me? And I get a little bit, I feel bad for myself sometimes. And then I look around the stories around this room and I see the harder things that you guys are going through. And friends of my life, they're going through. And people standing right in front of me are going through. And my perspective changes. My perspective changes. So if you like prayer, I got my prayer folks up here. And if you're standing in the back, you want prayer, wave your hands so you don't have to come up. I'll just be praying for you. If you want to pray for these folks up here, send your hands this way.